Today's New Orleans Pharmacy Museum occupies the site of the first government-licensed pharmacy in the United States. When this site opened in 1823, it would have provided everything from medications to cosmetics to love potions to surgery. This was the first time a state policy required pharmacists to pass an exam to hold a license, a policy that came about in reaction to the many and serious plagues affecting Louisiana at the time, and the free-for-all of quacks that an unregulated system encouraged. The law was created by the first American governor of Louisiana, William C.C. Claiborne, soon after the Louisiana Purchase. The transition from French to American ownership brought about all kinds of changes, one of which was a far worse plague situation. Before the purchase, the U.S. already owned territory along much of the Mississippi and was shipping many of its goods through New Orleans, one of the largest ports in the world at the time. Americans had their eyes on the city as fresh ground for expansion, and so President Thomas Jefferson sent agents to Napoleon, who had taken most of Louisiana back from Spain in 1800. They brought back word that Napoleon would agree, on the condition that the U.S. would buy not just New Orleans, but all of Louisiana, which at the time was the whole Mississippi Valley west of the river. The price was $15 million, more money than the U.S. had at the time. Jefferson had his Secretary of the Treasury, Albert Gallatin, borrow money from British and Dutch banks to pay for the new territory. This meant that British banks indirectly helped finance Napoleon in fighting a war against Great Britain. Albert Gallatin, for his part, got honored with a street name in the French Quarter, which became a red light district that we'll get a glimpse of later. The change from French to American opened New Orleans to the same surge of immigration other coastal American cities were seeing, much of it coming from more northerly latitudes like Ireland. Many of these immigrants hadn't been exposed to the diseases common in this region, and over the coming century, summer plagues of yellow fever, malaria, and cholera would kill huge numbers of New Orleanians every few years, as much as a sixth of the population at a time. In these desperate circumstances, people who were creative and opportunistic could sell anything and call it medicine, hence the laws that required pharmacists to have a license. The licensing requirements did more to standardize the medicine of the day than to improve it. Lacking understanding of things like sanitation and germs, many of the mainstream medical practices a prospective pharmacist was tested in were deadly. The museum put some of the worst mistakes of the 19th century on display. Typical treatment for syphilis, for example, would have been an intravenous injection of mercury, whereas in the same era, a voodoo priest would have given her client a medicine made from moldy bread, a small dose of penicillin, in other words, most of a century before mainstream medicine embraced it. The museum includes these and many other examples of the sometimes terrifying medical practices at the time. So while it's a fascinating place to go, it's best suited to visitors with a strong constitution. It's just $5 for entry, closes Sunday and Monday, and offers guided tours on weekdays at 1 p.m. Before you move on, take a quick look across the street at the Gray Hotel building. You'll see a section of stonework that looks out of place against the rest of the building. Today, this is the Omni Royal Orleans Hotel, but the site was once home to the St. Louis Hotel and Exchange, a destination for wealthy Creole planters visiting the city. Among the amenities available was a slave auction block on the property, one of the features implied in the word exchange. The U.S. banned the import of enslaved people from across the Atlantic in 1807, but the demand for human property remained enormous for decades to come, enough to support two slave auction sites at this single intersection. After the Civil War, when sale of people was no longer legal, the hotel passed between many owners, became abandoned, and finally blew down in a hurricane in 1915. Today, this piece of stonework printed with the word change is all that's left of it. From here, continue along Charters Street to the next intersection with St. Louis Street. You'll get the best view from the corner with the large white marble building.